Our scripture reading for this morning, looking at two verses. First from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and then Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and as we study your word, Lord, may your Spirit speak to us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are preaching on a series, a topical series for the next few weeks, right? And the series is called Seeking God's Will in Different Stage of Life, in each stage of life. Okay? And we have identified a key concern in each stage of life, wherever you are. So last week, we heard about the need for a healthy self-identity that's targeted more for the youth. Pastor Wen Tong shared that the basis for a healthy self-identity is first to understand God loves you. And when we respond to that love, we also respond to love others. And then we learn to love ourselves too. Now, today's topic is on calling and vocation. In my conversations with some young adults, I discover that this group is very concerned about questions such as, how should I think and plan what to do with my life? How do I discover my calling? Can I find meaning within my work? What is God's calling or vocation for me? Now, the young adults who ask these questions, they are very sincere and mature, growing Christians. And the heart behind these questions is they really want their lives to count for God, for His kingdom. They want their work to be aligned with what God is doing in the world. And they hope to find meaning, purpose, and joy in what they do, including their work. And they certainly want to honor God with their time, their talents, and their gift. Now, it's not possible to cover this very huge topic in a 30-minute sermon. There's really a lot to unpack in this topic. But if there's one book I'd like to recommend, it is this book, Courage and Calling by Gordon Smith. He's the president and the professor of systematic and spiritual theology in Ambrose University and Seminary in Canada. He also teaches in Regent College. I read this book many years ago and also applied the principles during my early years. And as I read this book again, as I'm preparing this sermon, I find it still very relevant and very good. What it helps is to provide a theological and biblical foundation as we understand God's calling and vocation. And so much of this sermon today is also drawn from this book. Now, I'll be using the word calling and vocation interchangeably, but they all mean the same thing for this sermon. Okay. All right, I'd like to approach today's sermon in these three key points. First of all, we will understand the call of God through three expressions of vocation. It is very important as we move on to understand what is the theology of work from God's lens, okay, and vocation. And then some pointers as to how we discern our vocation. Now in the book, Gordon Smith, he highlights that God calls us in three distinct ways. First, there is the general call. And the general call is God's invitation to follow Christ. Right? So in John 3:16, for example, it tells us that for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we see in this verse, in John 17:3, this is God's call for our life, to know him. He wants us to have eternal life. And eternal life is to know God. Now, I preached this at Easter, that to know someone is not just to have a head knowledge, is to have a relationship with this person. And that is God's call for us, to know him, to know that he loves you, and he wants to have this relationship with you. And this is something that Jesus invites us to be a child of God and his disciples. Now, it's very important to establish this first general call, because the other two call stems out of first knowing God loves you and he calls you to be his child. And then there is the second expression of God's call or vocation, and that is the immediate call. And what it means is the task and the duties that God calls each person at present time. The general call is an invitation to follow Christ. The immediate call is something that also cannot be ignored. And this is the tasks and the duties that God calls us in our roles and our responsibilities now. For example, there is a commandment to honor your father and your mother. And so when my parents are sick, it is God's immediate call for me to take care of them. I need to fulfill this role as a son. Now, Scripture also calls us to be responsible to earn our own living. So, for example, in this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul exhorts the church, if anyone is not willing to work, then he does not eat. Each must earn his own living. So there are responsibilities. These are the immediate call of God. And so as a Christian father, I am called and I have a responsibility to provide for my family. And of course, there are other tasks and needs before me to raise a family. For example, God's immediate call for me daily can be as simple as the grocery shopping, the cooking, the planning for the family affairs. Now, for others, it may be the responsibility of being a student, attending meetings at work. These could well be God's immediate call at your present life. And understanding God's immediate call means that we cannot ignore these duties or this responsibility as a child of God in where he has placed us today. Now then there's the third call, the third expression of God's call, and that is the specific call of God. And this is a vocation that is unique to each person and individual's mission in the world. This specific call can be called also a vocation that is unique to each of us. And we see many examples in the Bible where God calls his people for specific purpose. For example, God called Abraham to leave his hometown, to go to an unknown land, and to father a nation. God called Moses to deliver his people out of slavery. In the book of Judges, God raised different people at different times, warriors, to deliver his people at different occasions. God's vocation for King David is not just to be a king, but a king who shepherds his people. Queen Esther, God laid a calling on her for such a time and such a purpose to help her people in her role. And there are others we see in the Bible that God calls to be prophet, to be messengers, to be his spokesman. They all fulfill God's purpose for their lives in different ways. And his ultimate plan is fulfilled through each different vocation. And likewise, God may call us to different vocations to serve him differently to fulfill his ultimate purpose. So what we have learned so far is God calls us in three different ways. The first, to be his child. And then everything stems from there. Then there's the immediate call that cannot be ignored, the daily task and responsibilities that have been entrusted to us requires our attention. We do not resent them because they are also part of God's call and our Christian duty. Then there is that specific call, or what we call vocation, that is unique to each one of us. Now we'll focus on God's specific call, the third one. And this is known as vocation, or the call that God calls us to. And put it simply, it means knowing and living God's calling, understanding what we are made to do. But before we move on to discern, how then do we discern to God's calling? I think it is very important for us to recover a proper understanding of work, the theology of work or vocation. So I want to spend a little bit of time there, okay? Now, if you look into the Bible, it tells us that work, the way that God created in Genesis before the fall, it is good. Okay, so if you look into Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you know, after God created man, he didn't say, okay, y'all go for a retreat and spend your time, do what you want. Immediately, God puts him in the garden. And God says, work it and keep it. I like how the KJV puts it. It says, God took the man, put in the garden to dress it and to keep it. It's a very interesting word. God did not create Adam to pull weeds the whole day in the garden. Although that can be a little small part of his job. But God gave Adam this incredible privilege and responsibility to dress his garden, to steward it, a partnership with Adam. And I like how one author defines vocation from this verse in Genesis. It is God's invitation to Adam to come alongside God, to create beauty, cultivate abundance, and generate order. Now, through work, God calls Adam to be co-creators. Now, when I say co-creator, it doesn't mean we can create, not in that sense, but our work will be part of God's continuing creation. And so work, as we see, is therefore something that is meaningful, something that is significant, something that is in a partnership with God, and something definitely God values. So if we understand work the way God plans it or ordains it, then our goal in life is not to make a few million or the first million and then to be released from work as soon as possible. That seems to be an unspoken goal in many people's heart today. Now, while retirement is a very important transition, our life longing is not to be released from meaningful work. In fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, Jesus promised his disciples, his followers, that those who are diligent and faithful with the small things, they will be rewarded. And how will they be rewarded? With more work. Interesting, isn't it? So the hope of God's people is not to be released from work or serving the Lord, but to partner with the Lord in whatever that He calls us to do. So what have we learned? Work is God's creation. I mean, part of God's creation. We understand the way God mandates it to be. It is an awesome privilege and responsibility to partner with God in what He calls us to. Now, how then do I know what work does God call me to? Now, it's important to first understand a very fundamental principle, and that is all work, all vocations are sacred to the Lord if this is a work that brings glory to God. Now, of course, the work or the vocation that we do shouldn't be something that hurt other people. We will violate the biblical understanding of work if we use our gifts and talent the way God given us to exploit others, to harm others, or to gratify just our own desires. And then that's not meaningful work to the Lord. Meaningful work brings glory to God. And one principle, scripture exhorts us that we can draw from in Colossians 3:23, it tells us that whatever we do, work heartily. It doesn't say only this vocation, that vocation, but whatever that the Lord calls you to do, work heartily, happily, right? Know that this is not from man, but from the Lord. Work as unto the Lord, okay? And a reminder for all of us that whatever God calls us to do, we are also serving the Lord through that vocation. John Calvin is a very important figure in the Presbyterian Church, one of the key leaders of the Church Reformation, which led to the formation of the Presbyterian Church worldwide. And he wrote a collection of theology, governance, church governance, and daily living called the Institutes of Christian Religion. In one section, Calvin writes, "In following your proper calling, no work will be so mean and sordid as not to have splendor and value in the eye of God." Now, what Calvin is saying here, and he's insisting, is that all people should have a sense of respect for their own work or vocation. Whether you are a homemaker, an office worker, all respond to the Lord's vocation in what He has given you or placed in your life. And he further affirmed that each person God has assigned a calling. And this vocation is not accidental. And it's our duty to accept and to embrace what God has called us to do. So God may put you in education, God may put you in the arts, God may put you in public service, God may put you as an engineer, serve in the field of the medicine, a service provider, a caregiver, or a homemaker. These are God's vocation also. All are sacred, not one above the other, and all glorifies God when it's done to the Lord. Now, it's important, I also want to emphasize that manual work and the work of caregiving are also important vocations that God may call us to do. You know, subconsciously, we may think that, you know, work done with the hands, the blue-collar worker or whatsoever, is less significant or less valuable than work done with the mind, like managing, setting policies, writing, speaking, or teaching. But Scripture shows us that manual work is also sacred and significant. So one example we see is in Exodus 35. When God called his people to build the tabernacle, he blessed some to be manual workers, masters of the craft, to design the tabernacle with their skillful hands. So in this passage, Pastor Al was an artist, a designer, and a manual worker, in a sense, a craftsman. Okay, and he's probably the first person in Scripture that is said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he has this sacred task to construct with his hands the articles for the tabernacle. We remember that Jesus himself was probably a carpenter in his growing up years. And Paul, the apostle, was a tent maker. My father was just discharged from a hospital after close to a month because of a colon operation. And whenever I visit him in the hospital, I will see the nurses busy with their manual work. They have to administer medicine, injections, check blood pressure, change, bathe, sometimes feed, and even shave the patients when they ask or they request. And for my father, he needs help to dispose his urine and clean his stomach bag. And these nurses, they do the work without a simple complaint. And sometimes they have to put up with the patient's frustration. And each time I see them, I was thinking to myself, it takes a very, very big heart to do the work that they are doing. And I'm very grateful to this vocation. And certainly, it brings glory to the Lord. Now, one thing that Gordon Smith highlights, and I think it is also very important and to note, is that he writes that it is important that we also do not confuse the vocation that God has given us with just our career. In some situations, perhaps most, it makes sense that calling is expressed through an occupation or a career. But for many people, your vocation may well be outside of your employment. So God's vocation for some may be a full-time homemaker, may be being a volunteer in the church or serving as a lay leader in the church. That is and can be your vocation. And in today's economy, a person may change his career a few times in life, and career can come and go or end with retirement. But God's vocation outside of the career will remain. So that's a very important point for us to note. Okay, so we heard that God can call us in three different ways. Fundamentally, God calls you and me to be his child. It's a very important calling because that is the basis for the other two. Then, as a Christian or as a follower of Jesus Christ, we do have our immediate call, the task and duties that God calls us to. And then there is also the specific call, and that is the vocation that is unique to each one of us. Now, how then do we discern God's calling or vocation to each one of us? Now, I have five ways we could discern God's calling. The first is solitude and journal. And we can draw this principle from our Lord Jesus himself. And we notice that in the midst of busyness, he would withdraw and spend time with God the Father. And that is what solitude is about, being alone with God. It allows us to be honest with God. It allows us to wrestle with God, with what we are worried, what we are concerned about. And to link it with vocation, this drawing away can help us listen to God close when we bring this matter to Him. In the last AMKPC Live, I wrote how I hear God's vocation for my life at a beach. God did not speak through in a very like loud voice, but that was deeply felt when I practiced the discipline of spending time alone with Him. And the incident in the beach, God brought a passage from the Bible to my mind, and it encouraged me. So even up to today, whenever I recall that moment, it warms my heart. So God speaks when we take time to have solitude with Him. And looking back, some of the significant decisions in my life was made when I'm at the seaside or taking a walk at the reservoir. Now, closely related to this exercise is also the discipline of journaling. A journal is not a diary to record events or facts. Through journaling, you can write your thoughts, your prayers. It helps you to be mindful what God is leading you. So for example, when I look back at my journal entries, I see how God was leading me through a certain decision, a major decision, certainly in my vocation. And if I observe a pattern that I'm always writing about the same thing or praying about the same thing through my journal writing, then it's quite evident that the Lord wants me to work on that matter. And sometimes I add photographs in my journal to remind me of my encounters with God and how He has called me. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. You know, discerning our vocation or what God calls us to do is a very important matter in our life. You know, and through these two spiritual disciplines, record and write, what is God speaking to you through the sermon that you hear, through your quiet time, through your conversations with people. And God can help us to be attentive when we take time to be with Him. Now, the second aspect is to know yourself. And this principle can be drawn from Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And here, Paul calls the church and all of us to think of ourselves not more highly than we ought to, but with sober judgment. Now, if we draw a principle from this passage, the idea here is to be honest, to look at ourselves with all honesty and discern. When we apply to our vocation, is who am I? What are my strengths? How has God wired me? What are my gifts and talents? It's also important to understand who we are not and be happy if God has not given us this gift or talent. In the body of Christ, I can tap on another person. The late Henry Nouwen, he's a renowned professor, a writer, and a theologian, and a Catholic priest. And he wrote an experience when he was discerning a particular vocation in his life. Well, at a certain point of his life, he thought that his call was to spend the rest of his life to serve the poor in Bolivia. And so he resigned from his teaching position in Yale and went to be a priest among the poor in Bolivia. But he struggled with himself. He struggled with the ministry. He found that he could not contribute to the ministry, and he was struggling emotionally. And he wrote, "Slowly and painfully, I discovered that my spiritual ambitions were different from God." And he recognized that he was actually ineffective with working with the poor. And his friends told him honestly that he could do more and be more useful if he had worked with university students and influenced the next generation than working with the poor. And Henry Nouwen came to that realization, and then he wrote, "It became clear to me that idealism, poor intention, good intentions, and a desire to serve the poor do not make a vocation for him." Now, what's the point here? In Henry Nouwen, in this example, what we learn is God has gifted him with a certain personality and gifting, but he may not be suited to serve the poor in his case, however noble the cause may be. It doesn't fit his strength and his ability. So it's important for us also to know how God has wired us. What is our gift and talent? And be sure of the vocation that God calls us to. The third aspect, and I think it's also important, is listen to the faith community. You know, God has not left us alone to discern our calling or our vocation all by ourselves. He has given us a wonderful gift, the people around you, matured brothers and sisters in Christ. And this community can include our parents, our spouse, and the church. And we tap on the wisdom of one another, of matured Christians who are concerned for our life. When I was discerning whether to enter into full-time ministry, I shared this with my CG leaders then and close friends who are matured Christians. At the back of my mind, I was thinking this, and to be honest with you, if they say no, I will be freed from this calling. But all of them said something along the line, you know, "I see this coming for your life, from your life." And they were not surprised by it. And then the church leaders affirmed the call. So brothers and sisters, when we seek the counsel of others, the faith community, what we are doing is we are inviting people to pray with us, journey with us, walk with us, whatever the vocation that God calls you to. And that's something very, very valuable. Fourth, the shortest distance, the shortest way could be the long, or the shortest distance may be the longest way. I preached this sermon before, last year when we were doing Exodus 13, and I shared with you that God intentionally took Israel on the longer route because his people were not ready for the challenges then. And it would be disastrous if they take the shorter route and go straight into the promised land. And that can be true when we consider how God works in our life, especially in our vocation. You know, there's a phrase in the working world that is something called paying your dues. Paying your dues. And what it means is to earn something through hard work, long experience, start from the bottom. And when you pay your dues, you understand the work and the field or the vocation that God calls you to, and the issues better. And then you are ready for bigger challenges. Brothers and sisters, it's not likely that God is going to place us in that dream vocation or that wonderful opportunity when you and I are not prepared for it. If you are new to your career, then we got to pay our dues, so to say. Be humble to learn the ropes. Discern carefully about quitting. God may take us to the longer route to learn from some of these experiences before he leads us to his ultimate purpose. So the desert experience may be necessary to bring us to the promised land. Finally, the church can also help young adults discern their vocational discipleship, a true vocational discipleship, discern their calling or vocation to vocational discipleship. In this book, it's a very interesting book, Faith for the Exiles. The authors did extensive research on Christian young adults in North America. And one question they asked the millennials in the church is this: what do you want to do in life? What do you want to do in life? And the authors, they categorized the results in three key areas. Close to half the respondents, they respond to say what kind of career they like. And close to half say something along the line of entrepreneurship. So they want to be marketers, business leaders, financial experts, business owners. They want to start non-profit organizations. And this is the trend in our young adults today, close to half of them. And then there's the second group. They are interested in the science, technology, the engineering, the math. And then there's the third group who are interested in creative careers such as design, filmmaking, journalism, literature, fine arts, and performing arts. Now, if this is the aspiration of our young people today, then how can we as a church mentor these young adults? Now, over the years, our young adult ministry have conducted seminars and forums like these topics that I've shown us, you know, presenting well in your interview, dream careers, is it a nightmare, why work? During these seminars, we invited different adults, professionals to come and also share from their working experience. Now, these are wonderful opportunities to learn, to participate, and to carry on the conversations. So what we've learned today is God calls us in three different ways, and I hope that the theology of work and vocation help us to see work through God's eyes. And I shared with us five ways we can discern our vocation. I have three questions in the sermon outline, and I want to encourage us to take home these questions in light with what you hear, and reflect on it, and have a conversation with someone. Let us pray. Lord, you saved us because you love us, and you put in each one of us a purpose, a calling, and a vocation, that we may glorify you. Grant that, Lord, as we discern your call for us, that you will lead us to your vocation for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.